That will never not... Anyone who works from home might notice this. Like, the latest update of Zoom is like recording in progress. It's like Siri's sister. It's not Siri, but it's a different robot voice.
Can you hear it and the recording?
I don't know if you can. So that might just be our little treat. And then people listening will be like, they haven't even introduced the podcast. This dude's just talking about a robot voice. Brian, kick us off here, please. Wow, handsome.
Hello and welcome to Local Roots Podcast. I am half of your host, Brian.
And I'm the other half, and my name's Larry Lynch. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Brian, man. Amazing intro as usual. We got high energy. We're rolling. We're rocking. We're slithering. We're slathering. We're zigging. We're zagging. This is what we do on the Local Roots Podcast. We come. We are never, ever missing episodes. We are never, ever low energy. We definitely always have great guests every single episode. It's never just the two of us. It's a perfect podcast, and that's what Local Roots Podcast is.
Yes, 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 yes. I will introduce our first guest. He's running away. Why? You're supposed to come up. Anyways, our first guest is Leonard McFarlane. He'll join us when he's good and ready. So until then, it's just gonna be us two, Larry.
Oh, okay.
Together, so like I said, I'm half, you're half. Together, we are one host.
Yes. And now that was
like this. I like this.
Oh, we do videos.
There's anything wrong with this, but that we're
like Brian is, if you're listening to this, Brian's making gestures onto the screen, and you're probably like, I usually listen to this podcast. What the hell are they talking about? A lot of this. So, all right, here's what happened.
If you're, bonus joke. You can't explain.
If you're listening, you probably thought this was the worst intro ever. But I promise you, it was just mostly visual. It was actually perfect and nothing was wrong with it. And then if you were watching it and you still thought it was bad, then you had to have been listening to it.
Nice.
Okay. So I know I'm already rambling a ton, but I just want to kick this off with we're coming at this new episode. We're going to start trying something new. I think we had a bit of an epiphany, like, we've talked about every single thing there is to talk about in Michigan biking. Like, we've talked about the Dragon enough to make anyone's ears bleed. We talk about Lou and we talk about Merrill, and that's not going to go away. That's our favorite. That's what we live with. But we're just going to try to get a little more trendy here. So we've got actual structure to the show now. We've picked out some topics to talk about. We're going to stay on the beating pulse of society, and you're going to get
we are in for our California, our Arizona, our Canadian, our Beijing listeners. Yes. All of this information is going to pertain to you. Sometimes we're not saying we're abandoning all of our Michigan fun Grand Rapids things, because I'm sure we'll talk about those quite a bit, but we are trying to, zoom out a little bit.
Yeah. Basically, we're running out of things to talk about, so we need to go global, baby.
Yes, and we're also running out of some. Well, we had Beer Guy on. Apparently, we're missing out a whole lot of other Michigan breweries. But for accessible beer, we're running out of Michigan breweries too.
And quite frankly, booking guests, like, we definitely still want to do that. Don't get me wrong. It's just a lot of work. So we're going to still, the podcast will keep evolving, and it'll never get worse. I can promise you that. It'll never be worse. And it might just get a little better every time too. How's that for Local Roots Podcast? It'll never be as bad as it was.
Yeah. Here, our guest has shown up.
Oh, okay. And now everyone can be so thrilled that Brian was talking about a cat.
Say hello, Leonard.
Wait, you want to say hello? Here. You can't come out, though. He's too squirrely. We're going to keep him in there.
Brian is, for the listeners, because, again, most people listen, he's trying to get his cat to come join him. We have beautiful sets. Brian is on the lake recording the podcast. That's just hashtag vibes. That's what we do. I'm in my crusty old basement, as per usual, and that is squad life. Hashtag squad goals.
That's drywall outside of Kentucky.
One more time, bud.
This you get the best driveway this side of Louisiana. The drywall, sorry.
Gotcha.
Brian, better drive for this, but
I can't help but notice your pontoons in frame. Brian has the sickest pontoon.
It is a
yes.
pristine 1962 Sylvan 20 foot with a 24.5 horse Johnson special.
It's a beefcake. And honestly, like I always make fun of it because it's so old and beaten up, but it is some of the most fun times putzing around the lake on Brian's like floating patio. It kicks ass.
It was gifted to us. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's right. That's all you need to know. Anyways, what do you think? We get into the news?
The news, yes. So what is going on in the Blake world? I feel like this week's biggest splash recently, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the new Spark is the biggest splash.
Is that what you're most excited to get into?
I think so, just because the old Spark, it was the same design for like such a long time.
All right. So I'm Brian, just so you know, I'm going to be pulling up like visuals now because we do a video. So okay. I'm citing my sources. This is Pink Bike's article on the new Scott. So as we talk about it, I'll have some pictures of it on the screen. So also if you're listening to it and you want to, get a better experience, you can now watch the video, the podcast too, but we'll explain it all too if you're listening. So Brian,
while I'm talking about it, Larry, can you navigate to just Scott's website? I want to find, there's a particular build I want to show you.
Sure.
It seems, I mean, it's still like ungodly and very not fathomable price-wise, but it seems to be a steal if you were to have that much cheese.
So as I'm pulling that up, do you want to talk about it? Like it's the biggest... The biggest thing about it is obviously the rear suspension. Like let's talk about it. Like, so in case you haven't seen it, it's the bike that's all over Instagram right now that looks like a hardtail, but isn't.
And it looks like an e-bike because it's got this like this pregnant area above the bottom bracket where typically is where motor's at. But for this one, Scott stuck the shock in the frame, which is pretty dope. Also, Larry, I don't know if you noticed up front, they have all of the handlebars are now this like internally routed gig.
So it's all proprietary, right? Like that's all like you gotta go Scott now. Like, where's that front handlebar picture I just had?
Yeah.
Look at that thing. That is insane.
Yeah, as all of the models do that. But even so if you don't have the one piece, the headset integrated to the bar, and you just have the normal bar with the headset, your blinds still do that. So they still go down the down tube, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I do like that. That's pretty great. So basically what we're explaining is like all the cable routes through the stem, right? Like, is that what you'd call it? Like,
yeah, I guess it goes down the stem.
Yeah. Which is smart, honestly. Like, I don't get why all bikes don't do that. They all go into like the medium of the top tube. Usually it's like a random little rubber plug.
Yeah. Down this hole. And I'm sure it's a pain in the ass to feed, but you can't, like, I'm sure it's just as difficult to feed those lines as it is to feed your normal lines. Not that I've ever done it. And I'm sure a million people are, all of our millions of listeners are like, what do you mean you've never done your own cable routing? No, I don't
touch any of that. That's ever. Not my job. I don't do that.
I won't ever touch those because I will for certain lose things.
So Brian, real quick, what about I guess you just have a little extra slack. Like, what about turning, like moving your handlebars? Is it not tightened? Because I was like, wait, how come no one's done this before? And then I just answered my own question. It's because you need play in the cable to be able to move.
You do. And I'm not sure how Scott does it, but I'd assume that it doesn't affect handling at all.
Well, yeah, obviously they wouldn't make it if you can't turn your handlebars. And it looks like there's like two kind of like plastic, like, you know what it reminds me of? Did you ever have, I think it was called gyro brakes on like your old BMX bike where you can like spin them all the way around? I was so excited to get that on my bike. Like, I was actually going to be like doing jumps and doing,
you're doing all the tail whips. Yeah,
handlebar spins and tail whips. It's like, what an idiot. But it kind of reminds me of that, the way that it's set up with like those discs. And I think that's how it handles the slack issue.
Yeah, the line slack. It's pretty sweet though. I like it. And you get the RC flavor, has the full carbon frame, it's got the rear triangle. That's the carbon, and then that's 120 travel up front, 120 travel out back, which is pretty sweet.
This one, Spark RC.
Yep, and then you got the Spark 900 is 130 up front, 130 out back. Now the build that I wanted to show you is the Spark RC Team Issue Access.
So this is actually crazy. Like looking at the cheapest one, the fact that you can get this new technology for under 5K even is kind of shocking to me.
You can get an aluminum one too, which is pretty cool.
Is that what this is? The $4,000 one?
Nope, that's all carbon too.
Really? So there's an even cheaper one?
Yeah. Want to focus? It's a 900 kind of RC. Focus on the Scott Spark, the RC team, the one to the left.
This one? No, that was left. RC team. I thought you said T, like the letter T, RCT, and I was like, what the hell?
$5,500. It's got to be the cheapest mountain bike, the cheapest full carbon mountain bike with
AXS on it. Yeah, holy shit, you're right.
Sweet. Also with this build, so you get a pretty sweet fork. You get the RockShox SID Select, which is it's like a step down, I believe, from the SID Plus. Someone tell me if that's different. I don't know.
Does it have the brain? All the SIDs do, right?
Nope. No brain.
No. Okay.
No brain.
I think I've asked this on the podcast before.
I don't like the brain. The brain is proprietary to the
Evo. Specialized.
Specialized, yes.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm a smart guy, too. Just kidding.
But I think it's sweet. And what's cool, they said, is so the shock is supposed to be able to, it changes like the suspension progression, because you don't have parts, like it's exactly where you should have the shock is part of the bike, not like a little bit in front of it. So it's kind of cool tech.
To me, okay, so Brian, I just want to like play the contrary to this, so don't get me wrong here. But to me, that sounds like marketing. I think it's getting, I mean, we're talking about it on our podcast. I bet everyone's talking about it. Sure. I don't know if I totally believe it. And it seems, I told you this on like your boat the other day, the Majestic pontoon we were talking about earlier. Yes. But like, to me, I was like, it seems like they're just doubling up on material and making one of your pieces even harder to get to. Like, it just seems so silly to me. Like, I really hope that there's like a reason for it and it's not just them being like, hey, here's some good marketing here. But that's just me being like the negative Nancy that I am. Like, I feel like it's like not as cool as, but I don't know. What can I say? Oh, shoot. It's a long video. I was hoping it was just showing the movement of it.
It's Nino telling you how great the bike is, which of course
you can play. You know what? I bet I see Paul Punter here. He, a friend of the podcast, he's been on before. And I think he might not be anymore, but he used to be sponsored by Scott. I wonder if he has one.
I thought he was riding a different brand.
Is he?
I think he had a Giant, maybe. I totally could be wrong. Sorry, Paul. I know you religiously listen to all of these.
Yeah, of course he does.
Anyways, I'm super excited about the Spark. If I were to get a full suspension like today and everything was available, I think I would get this. I would think I'd go for the Spark 900, the longer travel. Actually, it looks so cool. I think that hidden shock just looks dope.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm just like,
it's freaking. I think it's dope. But they're not available till October, so we won't get an actual like ride review from anyone that's not a pro until October.
Okay, so before we move on here, so first of all, you brought up a great point, like. First of all, just this bike right here, Eagle AXS, full suspension, a really nice fork, carbon, under 6,000. This is like, this should be in my mind like a $10,000 bike almost.
It's pretty sweet, yeah.
Like, what are the wheels like?
That, but
what did you say?
They're aluminum wheels, but
that's got to be it. Yeah. Okay.
They're nice. There's a nice wheel stud. It's the Silverton 2.0s, which is Syncro's like tap end aluminum wheels.
Okay. Brian's really dope. He's been looking at this bike. He had that memorized. Yeah. I didn't even scroll to it yet, and he said it.
30 millimeter wide, which is, I mean, that's pretty cool. That's kind of more modern right now, but I mean, even like 3 years ago, almost every XC bike had, you know, 25 mil.
Yeah. 30's nice. You can get some beefy butts on that.
Yeah. Anyways, I think it's cool. It ships with 2.4 tires. Like, that's crazy for an XC bike, full like XC race bike, to have 2.4 tires.
Are they going for more of a downhill vibe?
I think they're going for no. Well, go to the Scott, the Spark 900. That's even more so.
Yeah.
The only bummer with that build is it doesn't have a dropper.
So where the 900?
That Spark RC Team Issue Axis doesn't have a dropper.
Okay. So
it's kind of a bump, but you can put your own on for however many pieces of cheese that you want to spend on your dropper, but down a little more.
Oh, okay. So there's the, Spark.
That Spark. Yep.
This one, the Ransom? No, sorry. The one up here.
That Spark. Yeah.
Now this one, holy shit.
That's the Spark 900 series. It's, I don't know. Anyways.
So this has a little more racing or downhill? I missed what you said.
Let's get more beef.
Okay.
It's 130 travel.
Okay. So now something and like also, this.
That ships with, so like for that price, that has the aluminum rear end.
So just the rear triangle is aluminum?
Yep.
How do they do that? It's connected right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So now this bike right here, I would buy in a second. I love this. Fox Float, the tan sidewall has caught my eye. Under or exactly $4,000, full suspension. This is a steal of a bike. Plus you get like, you know, quote unquote, like the latest technology if you consider this new.
Yeah, it's bad to the bone. I think it's freaking sweet.
I think they're honest. Scott's always been really good about giving you a big bang for their buck. I think that's what I noticed first about them is like when I was looking for new bikes, it's some steel. Brian, you have your Scott scale and you love it. I mean, I think you do. You still do, right?
I do. I love it so much that I don't want to sell it. And now we're kind of going into something else. If anyone's listening and wants to weigh in, if they've ever converted a scale, carbon scale to a gravel bike.
Whoa. So I'm
wondering if it's like worth it or not. Because the next bike I get will definitely be a little bit more beef. But I love the scale. I don't want to sell it. I don't think I get a ton of cheese out of it either. So I want to put drop bars on it and probably leave it as is. Well, rigid fork too. But
I was going to say, yeah, you'll need a rigid fork. And is that going to be too, I know it's carbon already, but is that going to be too like thick of a frame for a gravel bike? I mean, it'd probably be fine, but.
I'd keep the same wheel tires on it. You know, I might go skinnier and just go to 2.0s.
Pop some road drivetrain or whatever.
Yeah, just the whatever shifters up front that can play with MTB derailleur, which might be kind of a pain in the butt. And I'll probably put a bigger chain ring on the front, and I think that'd be it.
All right. Yeah, that sounds just cool. I think you should actually consider that.
Yeah. That being said, I still want the Yeti Arc.
Oh, yeah. Yeti Arc. Go listen to our last podcast. We did a deep dive into that.
Talk all about it. Moving on. Enough about the Scott Spark. It's all dope. Right. Go check it out. Leary, what news do you have?
So I'm gonna like stagger this because I have a couple things that are like totally not even bike related, but just like they're trending in the news or like just like really funny. So I'm going to pivot to, now we have a video, which it'll be just as funny if you're listening on audio.
This one about the vaccine causes metal to stick to you?
That's exactly right. So this clip has two crazy Karens, we'll say.
Wait, is it really?
Yeah, crazy Karen talking at like actual city council meetings about the vaccine thinking that it is making their body magnetic. And that is exactly what it, let me just play it. It'll speak for itself.
Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized. They put a key on their forehead. They can put spoons and forks all over
them. Fucking moron.
Because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
Okay, so there's another one after that, but holy shit, how do you take that in? To me, it's like straight up Facebook moms. It's like they're just scrolling through and they see like a TikTok of like someone trolling them of like a dude. Oh shit, Brian's magnetic. He just
I'm magnetic.
But like, yeah, someone's just like literally like faking it, and they're like they any little thing to like try to believe in anti-vax because that's all they care about is like they will latch onto it like psycho shit.
Do we have more? Do we have the lady doing it?
Yeah. Herself? Yeah, we do. But I was just wondering if you had anything else on her before I moved on.
No, I think it's hilarious. I watched the Minuteman from Barstool. I know you declared your name for all of them.
I've gone anti-Barstool, but that's the exact like that kind of stuff we'll just copy and do on our show now.
Yeah, he did a bit on this, and it was, I think it's, anyways, go on. Maybe okay. It's somebody else.
Yes, vaccines do harm
people. No, it's her.
Wait, so I just found out something when I was on lunch, and I wanted to show it to you. You were talking about Dr. Tenpenny's testimony about magnetic vaccine crystals. So this is what I found out. So I have a key and a bobby pin here. Explain to me why the key sticks to me.
I love everyone in the background.
Like, you're nuts, lady. Oh, it kind of stuck. Oh, it fell off. What a bummer. Well, you thought it first.
If you could explain this, that would be great.
That could be great. If someone, all right, so first of all, it's like at like a city council meeting, like who there is going to be like, oh, you caught us. That's exactly right. You're magnetic.
A like, little town of Puxatawney magnetized everybody. Is it the same town it is?
I don't know if it does.
Oh, it's in Ohio.
Ohio.
That explains it. It's Ohio.
I know. And you know, not to throw any Michigan cities under the bus, but probably Cedar Springs is having the same meeting right now. Sorry, no, I like Cedar Springs a lot. I'm just totally kidding there. But let's be for real. There's some crazy people in this world.
That's just the whole state of Ohio. I think we can just throw in the garbage, but you know.
I love that, like, to me, it's like all like the Karens that like they can't like yell at people on the street anymore because they know that the phones are out there. So now they're like they have to like refocus somewhere else. And now it's like, okay. I can go to these meetings and I can just yell at public officials and ask them why I'm magnetic. That'll work, right?
They have to listen, which is the fun part.
It's like, this is so mean, but this poor lady just needs to, you know, have sex with her husband again.
Or make a fine Amazon purchase.
This poor lady is just dealing with a bat cave.
Anyways, moving on from this woman.
Okay, that's all I have for this subject. Do we want to pivot back to bikes and refresh
maybe.
The palate?
Let me see where my notes were at for the bikes. I have a good tidbit. Yes. Okay. We're gonna reel it in a little bit.
Oh, let's do local, this one. And while you pick up the next one, this one is a quick one.
Okay.
So this I just wanted to share the news. Trek is hosting nationwide pride rides to celebrate inclusivity and individuality. And this one hit home to me just because the biggest note we've always had on this podcast is why we love bikes so much. And it's because it literally involves us meeting new people, getting outside, riding together. And, you know, you don't really hear the sentence of like LGBTQIA plus trying to like being incorporated into the cycle scene. So one, good for Trek for trying to do this. Although Trek is the same company that also is selling, I don't even want to talk about it, but like
that means to people
supporting, police riots, but whatever. anyways, it's a good step and I really like it. It's a good move. It's probably, it's all for marketing. It's all for publicity. There's probably nothing sincere about it, but at the same time, it's a good move. I like it.
Good job, Trek. We see through what you're doing, but we still like it.
Yeah. Like so it. I think you can go ahead and it looks like in 25 cities. So if for some reason you're listening to this outside of Michigan, you can participate. But there's probably an online event too. I believe I saw like through Strava.
I haven't noticed that there's one on Strava, but I haven't looked. So
you know what? That might've been their 100-mile race event that they're doing. But either way, it's a pretty cool thing they're doing. So
cool. I'm looking forward to Trek's next 100-mile or their whatever challenge it is where you get some cool stuff.
Yeah, I love it. We'll definitely talk about it.
Talking about, I don't know when that's going to be, but
I never picked mine up. Do you think George has it still?
No.
They gave him away probably, right?
I mean, it was September of last year.
Dang. COVID made me forget it.
Yeah, the coffee cup is pretty cool. It's got a bunch of little dudes on it. But it's a pretty low quality coffee cup, I'd say.
Yeah, they had to cut the budget from the shirts they did the year before, which I still wear all the time.
I wore that shirt to work yesterday. So it's still very comfortable and still looks awesome. So I'm hoping they do shirts this year. Something I want to talk about. I'll do my fun fact now. So
is it the fonts? Because I'm dying to hear. Nope. You said, hey, be sure to write down fonts. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll end with that because it's a tease.
It is a this one. It that goes in about kind of inclusivity stuff too. Anyways, so what I want to talk about, gypsy moths, they are all over my parents' cabin and they are migrating into West Michigan.
Okay.
They are on the trail. I wiped a couple off today when I was riding with Pat Ellis. If you're listening, I'm sure you're not, but had an awesome ride with you, man. Hell yeah. Literally, have you watched my Instagram story yet?
No.
You should look at it real quick or Pat's, and you will probably never ride State Game Area again.
Snake?
Yeah. And it was
really?
It was a blue racer, and this sucker was like nuts. It was huge. It was like 4 foot long. And
no.
It was crazy.
Dude, I saw one at Wafield too. I hated it.
I saw one at Wafield, but this thing was, it was like blue, white, and like, it looked nice. And I'm like, Pat, is it? He stopped and looked at it. I'm like, are they like nice? And he's like, no, they're very aggressive. I was like, okay. And then the thing like took off down the trail and it went very fast.
It's not poisonous, right?
No, they're not poisonous, so that's good.
But they got big old fangs and they'll fuck you up.
Yeah, they'll just fuck your day up. But also back to the gypsy moths. There are gypsy moths all over. And I wanted to share my fun fact that my father told me. So gypsy moths came to Michigan. Gypsy moths came to America as...
Wait. I'm sorry to cut you off, Brian. I hate doing this, but I always do it. It's just part of Zoom. I'm sorry. Are we allowed to say gypsy?
Yes, when referring to the moths, they're called.
I'm kind of also joking, but also being serious.
Deep down my lineage, I am like part Kashub, which are gypsies. So that's pretty cool. Someone did ancestry.com, obviously. But
all right, so you're allowed to say I won't, though.
I can say I'm part of it, yeah.
Okay, deal.
Gypsy moths, they're the fuzzy, green, gross-looking caterpillars that look like they came from Satan's asshole.
Look at all these. Gross,
but they're all over. And what happened was that they make this really cool, they spin like a yarn, a silk-ish thing. And somebody imported them from somewhere in Asia and brought them to, I believe it was Boston College that did this. I could be wrong. Somewhere in the New England area. And they wanted to breed them with silkworms to make this like uber super great silk. And some a-hole let a couple out by accident and they have been spreading west ever since.
Really?
A fun fact for the day. Yeah.
So it started as an experiment that they were just trying to make a new type of moth or something.
They're trying to make a new type. A new type of moth. Basically a new type of worm that was going to spin this like super silk.
Oh, damn.
And I don't know if whatever happened to the silk, maybe that's what Under Armour is made out of. I don't know. But that's why we have gypsy moths here.
I'm reading here that they're one of America's most destructive pests.
Yeah, they're terrible. At my dad told me up at Hicks Lake in Everett, at night, if they're sitting at the fire, it sounds like it's raining.
Oh, ew.
But you can just hear them munching on leaves.
Oh, God. Do you feel like there's more bugs this year than usual?
Yeah, well, it's all the cicadas' fault.
Oh, what is that?
The brood. What is it? Brood 69? I don't know. The things that come up every 17 years?
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. No, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I don't know if we've seen any yet, but
okay.
That's my fun fact. Back to bikes, talking about Trek. I feel like there is a push for more party hardtails. There's a resurgence. And I think Trek has arguably, like, people would say, like, the Stash was like one of the greatest party hardtails ever made. And I think that the Stash is going to return for 2022 in an aluminum and a carbon guise.
So you have no precedent to say this, though, or like no leads.
No new news.
Pure hype.
Top of my head.
Okay.
Hypothesizing. So take that with a grain of salt, and we won't talk about it anymore. But I'm speaking it into existence. So when it happens, I can be like, check back to this date because I said it.
Okay. Yeah, you have it documented here. So this is 100% going to be my next bike right here, now that we're talking about track.
What bike?
Is their Powerfly.
Sorry. Oh, Powerfly.
It's under 5K. It's got great.
You can get Voodoo Purple.
Ooh, nice. Actually, I'd probably get the E-Caliber. Which I think is right here. I'm obsessed with e-bikes, by the way.
They make a caliber with a motor?
Yeah, dog. I love it. It makes no sense because, I don't know. I love it, though. I want it. I'm going to do a whole podcast just on e-bikes. I might even just do it on a day where you can't come, and I'm just going to do a complete guide to e-bikes. So if anyone doesn't follow me on Instagram or whatever, I own three e-bikes.
I'm doing something else. That's a good call.
Brian said I'm skipping that one. I'm obsessed with e-bikes. So if anyone is looking for e-bikes and need advice, I know, like, not to toot my own horn, but I literally probably know everything there is to know about e-bikes right now.
You sell your e-bike?
I sold one of them. I sold that. So I had a really cool, like, imported Yamaha e-bike that was straight up imported from Japan. And
you sold it for
I sold it. I broke even.
Okay.
I just needed to get rid of it because nobody, like, it's a cool, it's like the build quality kicks ass. It's like really nice. Let me just, I can, Yamaha Pass Kiss.
Yamaha.
Oh, and look at this chunk who comes up right away. That's me. I made a whole video on it. Oh God, it's going to make listen to an ad. So anyway, it's, I love like old mopeds is why I got it. Like it reminds me of,
it looks like
UT50. So here's my little video. Here's a little walkthrough. It's all in Japanese though. So, as you can see, there's the controller. It's all in Japanese.
Wow.
And it's mid-drive pedal assist, which is actually really high-end, super high-end parts on this. It's really, really nice. It's just, it's a class one and it's from 2016. So it literally tops out at like 10 or 15 miles per hour. And that's like giving it all you got. So it really just isn't fun when I'm really more into like moped style shit where I can just rev it up. There's our guest this week. Leonard.
Hey, friend. Do you have anything to say? Meow. Meow.
Okay, so my internet's chunking out on me. But anyway, I'll save that for an e-bike podcast. Brian, what's next? What next do you want to get into? I got two more bike things here. We could talk about the Niner line. I know that we were excited about those. I think Niner's pretty cool. I know we talked about it on the pod before, but it's worth doing a deep dive. And then also, I really want to talk about these new ultralight bullshit Specialized made these like new ultralight 200 gram shoes. And I just want to talk about how stupid
$450.
All right, let's go to that.
Pull them up. I'm curious. I don't know if they're the ones I've seen.
So they just, I don't even know if there's a pricing yet, but you know, they're just insanely expensive.
I saw them. They look like water shoes.
Okay. Actually, they're cheaper than I thought. They're still $500 or $425.
$425 for.
And honestly, like looks wise, they look pretty sick. Like they're badass. Don't get me wrong. I think they're really cool.
I kind of hate them.
You do? I kind of like, because they got like the old Yeezy style almost.
Yes, like, okay. Maybe that's why I hate them. I don't know.
Because it kind of looks like it's like knit material on the side.
I think it is.
Yeah, I kind of like that, especially in the summer. But anyways, the main thing I want to talk about here is like, do you think like the return on investment like peaks really quick on shoes? Like you can spend a decent amount on shoes, but like you're not going to get the value back like the way you do on like bike upgrades, I guess. Like you're spending an extra $100 to maybe shave like 10 grams all said and done. Like that's the way I see it.
It seems like an insane amount of extra money to spend
on shoes. I get it. Like people will try to sell you on it all day. Like the more, like obviously you get carbon in them. Yeah. These got it right. Let's
see. My shoes are carbon.
Yeah. Okay. And did you feel any difference? Was it more stiff and you get more power?
I did like a lot. Okay. It's a massive difference.
Well, how much were your shoes?
Kind of like 190 or 200.
Okay. I think 200 is the most.
The reason I got them was because I was having my neuroma issue was sucked. And still is an issue. And I have big different insoles. And anyway, they're better now, which is good. But the shoes helped a ton. So I can say spend money on good bike shoes. But if your bike shoes fit and feel good, I don't think getting better shoes are going to make you any better of a biker. Like if you have dope shoes, don't buy these because you're like, they're doper. Like buy those because you need new shoes. I don't know. That makes sense. There are 13 on the stiffness index.
I guess holy so. Explain to me what the stiffness index is.
Well, I have a problem with any index or scale that goes over 10 or 100. So I
yeah, no like how is it 13?
No idea what that means.
Okay. And you know what? The more I look at these, though, I know I was talking shit. If these were any cheaper, I would buy them in a heartbeat. Like, I want that noted. Like, I'm talking shit, but like, I mean, if money ain't no thing, like, dive in, chief. Like, get these damn things.
I think there's sweet. I'm bummed. Also, shoes, you know that they are a wear issue. Like they're an expendable item. There's a word that I'm not thinking of. Like when you buy tires, you know you're going to replace.
Yes, them. You know you will need.
You buy running shoes, you know you're not going to have them for longer than however long. I don't know how well. I don't know. Anyways,
my privateers. Remember?
Yeah,
we both got the same pair.
Yes, they're actually the cylinders. They're better than the privateers. They're nice shoes. I wish I would have kept them because I just realized that my foot was like inflamed and then I just needed to calm down. So I bought the Giro Code Tech Lace carbon shoes and my cat's trying to chase something. And I hated them, but I have the Specialized XC Expert shoes and they're wide enough. I love them. They're great, but they don't make them anymore. And they replaced them with the Recon. And I heard the Recon like digs into your ankle. So I'm just waiting until, they make their next shoe, or I'll go for like the clip normal lace shoes. We'll see. I don't know. I got to get my.
No, you won't. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that's all I have to say and Brian's not here, but I'll just talk to you, the audience, the guys who really matter. Okay. These shoes are actually sick. I really like how lightweight they are and that like soft material on the top. I wonder if there's something like that isn't $400 because I would buy that. But the main point here is there's a part of cycling that really bugs me. And it's the part that like because people are so willing to spend money that they keep making things more expensive because they like know people will pay for it. And it just drives the whole industry higher and higher and higher. And like a $2,000 bike and like $100 shoes and like all that is more than good enough. But like it creates this like consumerism in our minds of like, I need to buy. And I hate it when it like poisons my mind because I'm like, I need these. And then they just come out with more expensive and more expensive and more expensive. And it fucks up our heads.
Hey, that's kind of how the world economy works.
No, it's literally the what's wrong with our entire society. But also, I'm the biggest victim of it too. Like, I see a new camera shit when that comes out. Like, a new drone comes out and it's like, this one is the exact same as your other one, but it can fly for 10 more minutes and it has obstacle avoidance that's like 10% better. And I'm like, oh, well, I need that. I feel like an idiot flying.
You don't want it. You need it.
Exactly. I don't know. At least that first step is admitting it, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We get into this with snowboarding and get into this.
Yep.
I needed a new snowboard in fucking, when did I buy my snowboard? In May? I don't know. Very dumb, but I love my new snowboard. So I won't talk shit about it, but it may have not have been the opportunity. I take it back. I got a deal on it. I'm pumped.
No. Yeah. You did a good job. I really like your
basement, ride. And Alexa's always like, you still happy you bought a snowboard in May? Yeah, I am.
I mean, you're happy you bought it, but you really wish you didn't have to stare at it and not be able to ride it.
Yeah, that's kind of part of it. Okay. Do I have any other note things that I need to bring up today? I don't think so. I want to talk about if anyone has in our listening field has ridden the Fox 34 step cast fork. I'm really curious about how they go, because I know Fox didn't do a 34 with the step cast, and I feel like doing the 34 and step cast cures the issues of the 32 step cast being flexy.
Is this not what Tyler has?
These are 32.
Okay. 32
with 100 travel. This is 34 with 120 to, I think, 130. No, it's got to only be 120. I was just curious if anyone has. If you have, let us know.
It looks like a nice ass fork.
I was going to research the, give you some tidbits on the new Santa Cruz Blur, but I don't want one, so I stopped researching.
Is it the 2022 Blur?
Yeah, it's one that Joel was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
They're sweet, but not for me, but I think it's for the extreme go fast XC guys. So like Joel,
what's this little maneuver?
Kudos again for getting second. Yeah, it's a new, it's their new, I think that's what all of their suspension links do. It's called something. Pat was telling me today what it's called. That has a 34 step cast on it.
Oh, okay. You didn't ask him.
It's like PB or something. It'll say, go down. Keep going. Good down right there. Down, down, down. It doesn't say, does it? Anyways, someone will, I'm sure, tell us in our comment section.
Yeah, it looks better from this angle. It looked like just like a plastic printed like something in that first angle, but when you see
it's
this
still
angle,
not as cool as having your shock inside your frame though.
Well, so that's what, all right, like let's bring that up again. Like it literally is like if you took what you see on the screen here and just like encased this in carbon for no carbon. Reason it's like okay,
well,
I guess
there
it's
is a reason thicker. Because you're moving the shock to actually in the bike. So you have a different suspension. You have a different leverage going on of where your suspension's moving. So that's the idea behind it.
It's literally using this same sort of mechanism though. Like this exact thing of like a pivot point to like compress.
Yeah, there's a pivot, but I mean,
it's just covered up. Like it doesn't have to be covered up and it could still be there.
Yeah, you can take the cover off, but.
You can?
Yeah, the cover just pops off.
Oh, on the Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, I totally missed that. I thought it was like literally in the
bike. No, 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 no. It's there's a window that like it pops out, and it's apparently easy to work on. But again, no one will ever know until October when normal people can ride one.
Well, maybe I have to see it a little more, because from what I saw, it was like you can only get in through like a bottom drawer. I didn't know like you can actually remove like a section. So I might be taking that. Am I just like the, I'm so negative. Everything we've talked about, I've taken like the shitty guy take. But that's what we'll do. Brian, you have to go twice as positive to make up for how grumpy I am all the time.
Yeah. I can do that. Do we have anything else bike related to talk about in the news?
You know what, Brian? I realize that you can't see when I pull up the rundown. Do you have it on your screen?
All I see are, I just see photos.
Okay. So I've got a couple other things. Here, I'll give you a couple things. So we can end. I got a couple funny videos that you've already seen, but it'll be fun to watch them and get our take on it. And then also, if we want to quickly talk about the Niner Jet.
That's all you. I have done no research on the Niner Jet.
Well, I haven't really either. I thought you did.
It's so cool. This is
it. It looks sick as hell. It's okay. Great price range.
It's a little expensive and it's a little heavy. It's fun. I think I would... I don't know.
Can I say this? It's ugly as hell.
I think the frame looks like a flaccid penis.
Like the hole in the middle to me is like they designed it to not have that and it kept breaking in tests and they're like,
oh, that's why it's there. Yeah.
Fuck. I guess we just got to add an extra bar here. And then it's like, yeah, I guess that works. And then they shipped it instead of taking it back to start.
I think the suspension layout looks like terrible. It looks old, but I mean, I'm sure it works great. People love Niners, but
yeah, it looks dated. Like look at the paint job even on this, like red and or sorry, blue and silver. It literally is like Walmart paint job status.
And then they've got some kick-ass looking e-bike thing.
Yeah, that looks cool. That's for another day. Oh God, what is this?
You haven't seen that?
What is this bike?
MCR, the Magic Carpet Ride. It's a full suspension gravel bike.
It probably rules. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it does a great job, but it looks insane.
It looks ridiculous, but I'm sure it rides like awesome.
What does it have? Like 20 millimeters of suspension?
I think you're spot on. I think it's either 20 or 30.
Why not just not have suspension, guys?
I feel like the gravel bike trend is like, let's put like minimal suspend, like Specialized has an actual like shock mechanism in their headsets to give them a little bit of travel on the bars.
I can't get over this. I was such a Niner fan, but right now I'm like,
are you not a Niner fan anymore?
I'm like wondering what the hell are they doing? I might just not get it.
We were
pedal, damn it. I love it. What'd you say?
Not good enough of Ryder. Understand. We're not good enough writers to understand.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
I honestly don't love them.
This bike is just, it looks like it's missing a piece. Like, I don't know what piece, but it looks like something's missing.
I don't like the fender on it, but
there's a fender. Oh my God. Ew, that's what it is. That's so gross.
I think it's a fender. I don't know.
I bet it kicks ass though. Like all that said, like I bet that thing just like you can. I bet it's super cozy. Sure it's
like the best ride ever.
What it's got to be? What like 10K?
Well, let's see. Let's check out what the
look at these gravel dude build. Loved it. That's about right. 7K with AXS. That's not bad.
Go to 4-star Shimano GRX 1x. Oh, there you go. 2-star Apex 1 is. How much?
That's not bad. Under 5K. Oh,
that's more than my Yark or my Arc is.
Okay. It's all right. I thought they would be jacking the shit out of this price, but it's fine.
It's fine.
All right, Brian, I got a couple of funny videos and then you can end the episode with your story about fonts. Or do you want to do that first?
Yeah, we'll do the fonts because I feel like the Gypsy Moth tidbit was more exciting.
Okay.
and you weren't as thrilled, and I think you're going to be less thrilled with my fats.
I was interested. I know I didn't sell it, but it was, I was more, I thought like you, all right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll do better.
Today I'm doing one of my a home visit with one of the families I work with. And, my, kid was reading a different book, and my tech told me about the book and said that this book has this special font in it to help kids with dyslexia or adults dyslexia or anybody with dyslexia. And the font is literally called Dyslexi.
Really?
And what it does is it makes like letters that you flip often just look very, very different.
This sounds amazing because I definitely have mild dyslexia.
Yeah, this one. So you can go in the, you're in the typeface, go down a little bit. And there's an example of what I'm talking about. So it makes the D's and B's look a lot different. And it adds like a heavier to the bottom if it's a, if it, the letter's like prone to be flipped. The F, H's, and P's, it make their tails longer, the stems longer, they say. And this is all written in that font. So it's pretty interesting. And you, the marketing thing for it is that you have to buy the font to...
Oh no, Brian froze. Oh my God. Now everyone knows I can't spell dyslexia.
You can't. Oh, you're back.
Oh, are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
I think it's my internet. That's my bad.
That's okay.
Okay, it's not on Adobe font. I was going to get it and start to use it all the time.
Yeah.
What were you saying, though?
The selling point is that I think you have to buy it and like install it with that font. But I think it's a really cool idea. It's supposed to just help like people without dyslexia read better, too. Like this font right here is written in Dyslexi. If you can, like, it looks kind of like Comic Sans, but there's each letter's like designed that, you know, to be that certain way.
I mean, I thought it was really cool. I feel like it's working. Like I'm reading this really well.
Yeah. Somebody involved in it is, I can't tell you what the guy's name is, but he's the old guy in all the Adam Sandler movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is Brian. This is actually
the football coach and Waterboy.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know his name, but Brian, this is actually good. This is a hot take.
Oh, it's actually good.
This is actually hot fire.
Is it actually benefiting the pod and our listeners and humanity as a whole?
Like, as far as like what you were talking about, like moths to the Dyslexi font, Dyslexi font crushes it.
All right.
What are they charging? Fuck that. Never mind. Holy shit.
Lifetime license of only $60. I feel like that's not bad.
$60 for a font?
It's what if it's life changing?
No way.
If you have 4 years users, it's only $38.
What is it if I want to use it for my business? Probably. Oh. Maybe I'm used to, because I have Adobe where every font is free. I literally just have to go type in my fonts here and get them for free. But $60, that's nuts.
That is the bummer. And also, it is, as far as I know, it is not like data proven to work. I just don't think there's any studies on it. So I'm just saying
it's all theory
for everybody. But try it out. And if it, you know, works for you, go for it. I don't know. Anyways.
No, I think that was a really good tidbit and super interesting. And I'm not just saying that because I didn't give you a good reaction on Moss. I really thought it was interesting.
Thanks.
And so interesting. In fact, I think we should
end on that. Gypsy moths are actually caterpillars, though, right? Like when I say gypsy moth, like it's not a moth. That's the fuzzy caterpillar.
Well, don't caterpillars turn into moths?
Yeah, but gypsy moths start out fuzzy, and you call them gypsy moths. Like that's the worm.
Oh,
it's like on all the mountain bike lady, everyone's like, "Hey, there's all these caterpillars everywhere," and it's like, "Yeah, but like these ones are called gypsy moths because they're furry and they eat shit."
Yeah. See.
I'm passionate about the
insect talk is just like, yeah, I hate them all. That's like where my interest ends. I don't know. I wish I cared more.
That's okay.
Brian, I had some funny videos that we'd watch, but really, I mean, everyone's seen them. They're just what you find on Instagram. I need to get good ace material, you know, and then we'll come in next week hot. I really like the dyslexia font.
Do you have your phone by you?
I do not.
Okay.
What do you need?
I wanted you to, maybe you can see it on a, I want you to, I want your reaction to the size of this snake.
Oh, gross. No way, Jose.
Can you see it? Here we go.
Fuck that. Nope. 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 Too scary. Nope. I hate it. It's like they shouldn't exist.
It was the creepiest snake I've seen. Snakes don't bother me all that much. But like when I rode by it, and he was like fine with me, I was like, okay, I'm not fine with you now. You're supposed to be scared of me.
They're too fast. They're too vicious. They like, have you ever seen snakes on a plane? Scariest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. I swear to God, I watched that and didn't sleep that night because I just instantly thought.
Why did you watch it?
I watched it with my friend at Boeing. I'll never forget this. We were at Boeing. We just watched a movie and then we were going to go snowboarding the next day. And literally I was up till like 4 a.m. because I kept thinking about if there's probably snakes in this house right now. I was like, he probably brought snakes to scare me because, and then he purposely made us watch snakes on a plane and there's probably 100 snakes here. I just had like 100 stories I crafted of why snakes would be in my condo at Boyne Mountain in the middle of winter. But I still thought snakes would attack me.
Do people prank you with snakes often?
It has happened, and you know that for a fact. And I hate it.
Sorry for another day.
And I don't like that I just publicly advertise on our podcast how terrified I am of snakes. And if anyone gets any funny business, I will be pieced. Pieced as hell. I'd love some feedback, guys. If you liked the structure to this episode and if you hated it, hey, it's way easier for us to just not do this and we can just ramble like we usually do. So hopefully this was semi-interesting. I might even like trim clips of it on YouTube.
Interesting. I liked this take.
I liked having a little bit of structure. And I think this week we'll actually like put our heads together and like craft a great podcast every week. So
yeah,
thanks for, I almost said watching, but I guess they are watching sometimes.
If you are watching, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I'm sorry you have to look at my ugly ass face and my ugly ass basement.
It's a nice basement.
At least Brian's got a gorgeous face and a gorgeous lake. That equals things out. But his mustache is creepy as hell. He just wants to look like Gary Fisher.
I am embodying Gary.
All right, bud. Anything else before we leave?
I got nothing. This was good. Also, great riding with you yesterday, Larry.
Yeah, it was a great day. I mean, I feel like I got a good workout in. It was really fun. I need to get out and ride more, you know? Brian did like 30 miles. Tell him to suck a dunk.
30 at Luton's kind of... I don't think I'll do 30 at Luton again.
Were you exhausted?
I was tired for sure, but it got like boring, I think.
Yeah. I get bored just doing a regular lap there.
I wouldn't. So, Larry, if I was going to leave until I saw you. So,
I mean, I was grateful you stayed with me. And even Brian, after doing 2 laps, and then I got there and he did his 3rd with me, and he still was probably like, this slow motherfucker.
Oh, I was dying.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Hell yeah. That was awesome. Quick shout out for talking distances. T Tyke just did 100 in the Milford Trail Challenge.
Yes, I think he's one of
6 people, I think, that did it in Milford that completed it. So wow. Hell yeah. It was like 88 degrees that day.
88 degrees. How much climbing was it? Wasn't it insane?
It was insane. I don't know what trails they did, but it was a lot. And I was just drunk on the lake all day. So
everyone go follow Tyler Teichman on Strava, give him a shout out. And then also our buddy Tristan, he's been on the podcast too. Oh. Just did Sancho. crushed 200 miles of riding, fucking psycho shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, go give them some love.
And good luck to anyone doing, I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but we have Lumberjack this weekend.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we'll try to get this out. Hopefully you're listening to us mid-Lumberjack and you're just like miserable. And yeah. You're like, these fucking idiots. I wish I could pull over and change my podcast. Sorry, like, bud.
I can't read well. I wish I had a better font in my life. Now you do.
Brian, okay, so if anyone's listening to this while riding, let's do a little bit of motivation to close this out. Ready? You got this, bro. Come on, man. Pedal, 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 pedal. Hey, don't you quit.
Do better. Don't be a little bitch. Go faster, faster, faster. There's no on your left. You're on your left. Go faster.
You be the one on the left when you pass.
You be the one on the left, or maybe put a little stiff arm out. Don't let someone pass you who is faster than you, but go faster.
Next time, all right, you're riding. I bet you see someone in front of you. You pass them right now, and as you pass them, you give them a titty twister and then give them the middle finger with the other hand and then blaze past them. You got this, bro.
And you show them your butthole and you're just like,
okay, what? Did you go too far?
What if somebody passed you and like they mooned you as they passed you?
Oh, okay. That's not what I heard. I thought you said you're clenching your butthole.
No, well, I mean, depends the time of the race it is, but
yeah, I've done that.
I was envisioned that someone's like so motivated by our motivation right there that they were just like, suck it, and they mooned the guy behind them.
That's the ultimate douchebag power move. And if you have it in you, do it right now.
Especially find a way to do it if you have bibs on. That'd be even more.
That would be pretty skilled. Yeah. I guess you do the titty twister, slip the shoulder, pop the middle finger with the other hand, and then you got to ditch the shirt. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. All right. We should call it.
We'll figure it out. Anyways, thank you all for listening. Enjoy your day. Local Roots.
Bye.
Later.